Starting a small tzedakah campaign for people that can't afford shoes. If anyone would like to give money to Bachrim so they could have shoes.
I collect for Tom every Monday.
There you go. That's part of it.
Can I donate to them?
Okay. A few things. First of all, I want to welcome all those people that are on the phone. We have Shmuel Lazar, who's not able to be here tonight, so he's calling in. Of course, it's great to have Shmuel. And Zevik Berkowitz, who's weekly, Baruch Hashem, he's a regular member here. I want to welcome all of our special guests that are coming, and especially so great to have Ari Coleman here with us. Extra special because Ari and I have a chavusa, which we learned some of the Piasetz and the Rebbe's writings, and we like mamish holding by making a siyum. So hopefully we're going to do that soon. So myself and Ari and the Rebbe, that we have like a special connection. One more announcement, which is that I just got off the phone with Reb Gamliel Rabinovich and with the great Mesiras Nefesh, and I say that because it took us a long time to hash this out. Reb Gamliel is going to be coming to yeshiva on Erev Yom Kippur at 10:30 in the morning. Erev Yom Kippur. To be here to give a hachana, to give a person perspective on Yom Adin, on Yom Kippur. It's obviously a very, very busy day for everyone, but I can't even imagine how busy it is for Rabbi Gamliel. It feels very bad that he couldn't do it, he couldn't make it when he was supposed to come. So we spoke about it, and he felt that's really the most appropriate time for us to make this work. Anyone that has friends that would like to come, or anyone else, Rabbi Gamliel says he wants 600,000 people to be there. Now, by the way, according to Rabbi Gamliel, every person is 1,000, so that means we need 600. So we're sending it out. We're going to make a video, hopefully. So we should be able to hit 600. That should be doable. That's a reasonable expectation or goal. But it's 10:30. We're going to have signs up 10:30. Here in the Beis Medrash, speaking about Hachana for Yom Kippur. I think it's a very special opportunity to be able to go into Yom Kippur with the right mindset. So let's talk a little bit about the Tzivuyim and Azharas from the Piasetzner Rebbe. The Piasetzner Rebbe, right here, where Mamish holding at the end of the Sefer. I really wanted to try to finish to be able to start the new, the beginning again on his Yahrzeit, which is the beginning of next month. We'll figure out what we're going to do about that. But in the meantime, here we are. We are speaking about Im Chuka Lasos Ezadavar Achsa Ischa. In the new printing, it's on page Kuf Chav Gimel. In the old printing, it's on Kuf Mem Vav. So it says as follows. Im Chuka, I think that's where we're up to, my friends. Anyone know otherwise? Yeah, I think that's where we're up to. Im Chuka Lasos Ezadavar Achsa Ischa. If you have a desire to do something, you feel like this, you know, in Yiddish, it's like, they say it's a juke. I got a juke. He got like this chapta kratz that he wants to do something. That's the way they say it in Yiddish. You have something you have in your head, you just, a mishagas, he wants to do it. Hey, loy dover aser hu, even if it's not aser. Aval kivan shele ben toira, chet unavalo hu, sheyeh maser biyad chukoysav anumuchiyos. Being that for a ben toira, it's considered a chet. For a ben Torah, it's considered nivul, it's perversion, if he's in the hands of his chukos, if he follows just his desires. Hanemichius, that are low, ubiyat taivas yitzro, and he just follows the taivas of his yitzer. We were talking about that in Shir, we were speaking about the difference between an amaymid behemoth chaveroi, al sada chaveroi. So according to the Rajba, it appears that it's midin esh. Why? Because I sent an animal on someone else's field. The shaila is, Rabbi Chanan asked the question, so why if I send an adam on someone else's field, isn't also esh? So says Rabbi Chanan, because an animal, it follows its ritzoinus. A person follows his das. An animal, if it wants to do something, it almost like can't control itself. It's, I want to do that, so I'm doing it. So all you have to do is put an animal in front of food and he'll eat. No question about it. A person has a moral compass and he makes decisions based on his das. So for that reason, a person shouldn't just always be like pulled by whatever his desires are. This is what I want to do right now, so I'm doing it. A person should be able to make logical decisions. So a person says, this is what I want to do. Okay, but if it's something that it's even if it's not a davar asur, but it's a low thing, I want to tell you a davar naira. A davar naira. I heard this from a lady who lives in Mrs. Kalashina, her name is. Gittel Kalashina, she lives in Lakewood. Her father was a Navardiker. Navardik is Shtarko Musa. Shmuley and I are learning a sefer about Navardik. So Navardik is Shtarko Musa. In Navardik, when you got a letter from home, now you have to understand what it was like back in the day when you didn't see each other for months. You didn't get letters. Letters were not, it's not like, you know, there was no phone calls even. You're talking about, this is when the only way they communicated was with letters. So you didn't hear from each other. There's months you haven't heard about what's happening in the family, what's happening in town. When they got a letter in Navardik, so the accepted practice was, you wait 24 hours before you open the letter. Self-control. You know how exciting it is to get a letter? You get it, you tear it open right away. 24 hours. Show control. That was Navardik. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's an extreme amount of discipline. But we have to have a certain degree of discipline to be in control of our lives, in control of ourselves, of our urges. He has an urge. It's an urge. Even if the urge is something silly, but can you control your urge? So he says, that's what a person has to do. L'chein tzorech atalis apek mimenu v'kosha l'cha. And you have to hold back and it's hard. Gam b'chol atachbulois kvar nisita v'kosha l'cha. You tried all of the different strategies. Tachbulos are strategies, and it's hard for you. Asei zois eifoi. This is what you should do. Chashoiv, think to yourself, hein esei zois, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Aval loy achshav, rak l'acher shav v'shotayim. I'm going to wait an hour or two. Yeah, I was telling you the story about what they did in Dorton in Navardik. They waited 24 hours. An hour. Show yourself a self-discipline even for an hour. Va'im kol kach menuvol hineni chas v'shalom shegam l'shav v'shotayim l'ucha l'acher stav. I can't push it off for an hour. I have a taiva. There's something that I want. There's a pleasure. There's an indulgence. I'll push off. Even if it's not an avera. You're not talking about averas even. But let me push it off. It doesn't have to be now. I could do it later. Betach al kol panim zois ala l'chol la'achra al eizah shois. I'm confident you'll even be able to push it off for a few hours. Because once you push it off, you say, I can push it off. No rush. It's not a rush. And you can push it off for more. I was thinking last night, Rabbi Yisai, after the fast, after we daven Marv, I was thinking, Lemaisa, probably I could have gone to sleep without eating anything. You could push it off. Or hungry, right? I mean, there's people that have gone to sleep hungrier, right? I could have pushed it off. It's not an Avera. Push it off a little bit. There's some people that they keep Shkita Rabbeinu Tam on Tanesim. You're not Machuyev. Push it off a little bit. I can show a little bit more self-discipline. This is what I'm obligated to do, and then I do a little bit extra. I can push that off. Or in general, showing just control. Listen to this unbelievable story. It's an amazing story about the Stipler. Back in the day, Gedolim lived in different worlds, and they had much more, you know, obligations. The Stipler was in the army. Stipler was in the Russian army. Dach Sachmir, Moshe Feinstein was in the Russian army. Reb Kalevsky, Rebecca Moshe Kalevsky from Neisrael was in the American army. Gedolim had to go through different types of challenges. The Stipler was in the army. And in the Russian army, and this is in the freezing, frigid cold of the white knights of Russia. And the army had a very limited amount of supplies. So they had one coat, which they gave to the person who was on Shmira, with the person who was doing, what's it called? Sentry. He was the watchman. What they did was when there was a changing of the guard, so you'd give him his coat, and then he would take the coat. So when the Stipler came for his turn to be the watchman, so the person before him placed the coat on a tree. He hung the coat on a tree. And the Stipler was thinking to himself, it's Shabbos. And a tree is Muktzan Shabbos. You're not allowed to take something off of a tree on Shabbos. Yeah, but it's pikuach nefesh. It's freezing cold out here. You know, you can't be outside in, you know, the Russian winter without a coat. So it's for sure mutter. And the Stipler said to himself, okay, but for 5 minutes, I can make 5 minutes without the coat. Nothing's going to happen in 5 minutes. So he stood there for 5 minutes. without a coat. And then he said to himself, I could do another 5 minutes without a coat. And it was another 5 minutes, and another 5 minutes, and another 5 minutes, and another 5 minutes. Before he knew it, the night was over. He finished his job, didn't touch the coat. So a person can, he sees he can extend his limitations, he could do another 5 minutes. A person needs to take a break. People sometimes need to take breaks. It's understandable. I could do another 5 minutes without a break. I could do that. Another 5 minutes in the basement. Another 5 minutes. Another five. And before you know it, maybe the Seder's over without even, wow. I can do that. But sometimes when we that's the strategy that the Rebbe is giving us. Sometimes we like see like, oh my gosh, how am I going to go for the rest of my life without ever taking a break during Seder? Like, you know, that's not going to work, right? That's not, just take another 5 minutes of this Seder without, push it another 5 minutes here. Tell you a maisa from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. Rabbi Nachman is famous for his stories. Rabbi Nachman used to say, some people tell stories because they want to put people to sleep. I tell stories because I want to wake people up. Rabbi Nachman's stories were special maisas, sipurei maisas from Rabbi Nachman. So there's a maisa of Rabbi Nachman. It's very chaviv to me, this maisa. The maisa was about two beggars. There were two beggars, and they were homeless. And they used to sleep in the park together. And they would, a lot of times share beggar secrets, you know, the different ways, how to make money, you know, how to get to people, where's the hot spots and everything like that. One of them was Jewish and the other one wasn't Jewish. And the one who was Jewish, so one day he gets all excited and he's like, you know, he's like in a very, very good mood. The other guy says to him, like, why are you in such a good mood? He goes, oh, because it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Pesach is coming. You know why? Because it says Kol Dichvin Yesiv Yechu. Anyone who wants, I'm for sure getting a hot meal Pesach, and it's good food. It's going to be awesome. I'm so excited. This is great. And he keeps talking about Pesach, and the other guy says to him, you know, would you just stop talking about Pesach already? I'm getting jealous. You know, I don't have this type of religion or anything, and I'm not gonna. I can't get a meal. He's like, so I, you know, you stop it already. He says, why can't you get a meal? I can work it out for you. He says, they don't have to know who you are. Listen, I just tell you what to do. Okay, you come into the synagogue with me. You put on a yarmulke. I'll just teach you a few different tricks. You know, someone's going to invite you. They got to invite everybody. You get a meal also. So the guy says, okay, why not? I'll give it a shot, sure. So they go into the shul, Pesach night, and they're standing there in the back of the shul, right? And someone comes over to the Jew, would you like a meal? You have a meal? No, okay, for sure, come. Goes over to the guy, doesn't know he's a guy, right? He's wearing a yarmulke. He says, you like a meal? He says, yeah. And wow, the guy's like all excited. He winks at his friend, and they both go off to their Seder. Great. The Jew comes back hours later, you know, and he's all happy, you know, just finished the Seder. Comes back and the guy is fuming. He's just livid at him. He's like, why are you so upset? He said, you told me this was going to be a good experience. You told me I was going to enjoy myself. It was horrible. It was a nightmare. I get there and all they do is they're talking and they're talking and they're talking. And I'm like, where's the food? It's like, it's coming. And they're talking and they're talking. And then they bring out matzah and marah. It was the most bitter thing I've ate in my life. I ate the marah. I just ran out of there. I said, it was just horrible. So the Jew said to him, my poor friend, Nebuch, if you just would have waited a few more minutes, because that's when Shulchan Aruch was about to come. That's when it was right there. It's Moitzi Matzah, Marah Korach, Shulchan Aruch. You were right there. You bailed out a few minutes too early. You would have just waited. Sometimes it's those extra 5 minutes. That's the difference between sour and sweetness. Sometimes it's those extra 5 minutes of the Seder where you're like, I don't get this sugya. I can't figure it out. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can't make a lane. I can't read it. I don't know what Rashi is saying. Tosfos is saying. It's it. I'm done. You take 5 more minutes and you get it. And 5 more minutes and the Seder is success. Now it's a failure. Sometimes you just got to push those extra 5 minutes. And the Rebbe is saying, just push a little bit longer. You could do a little bit more. Ubetach ha-koponim, zos elecho la-acher al-eze shoyz. Ubepamari shoynu b'shniya, the first time, the second time, tasa acher shova shotayim. Allow yourself, after an hour or two, Whatever you guaranteed yourself. You gave yourself a promise. I need this, okay? This is something I want to, it's my mission, God, it's my indulgence. Allow it. Indulge yourself. I will have it batuach, but you should just know. You should be certain. Sha'achas mishtei eile ya'ale lecho. One of two things is going to happen to you. Oy shakol kach yimas adover be'enocho. You're going to get so like, you yourself are going to feel a little bit foolish about it. You're going to be like disgusted. Like, what do I need this for? Even the first or second times, you're going to say, I don't need it. I'm doing well without it. Oy, sha'al kol panim tisragel bepam shlishis limshol alecho kol kach ashol tistarech la'avtichacho la'asos achar shah rak l'garmi tishabarna. Or at least the third time, you're going to say, I know I'm strong enough. I don't need this anymore. I'm done. A person can push himself in a way that he could push it away. That's what he says. Ma'od ma'od ha'vizirim ba'avaz chaveir. Says you have to be very careful with camaraderie, friendship. Talmud ben Ashir lo yisgoe ba'ashroi. A person whose father is wealthy shouldn't feel any better or shouldn't be proud, boastful in any way. And a Talmud ben Ani, it shouldn't be shuffle b'ani atzmoi b'anius. Ki kulchem b'nei Hashem atem. Everyone is a chelek eloka mimal mamish. Every single person is a chelek eloka mimal mamish. There's no difference. One's wealthy, one's poor. Malocha v'tohoirim. You're pure angels in this world. And I have to be honest with you, and if you could pardon me for saying this, but who's in a better position? Someone whose parents are wealthy or someone whose parents are poor? So, statistically, if you want to look at success, people whose parents are poor are more successful than people whose parents are rich. So if you want to know who is more likely to succeed, it's a person whose parents are poor. Statistically, there's a whole book written about it called David and Goliath. About the first chapter is dedicated to people who grew up rich. It's the poor little rich kid. It's not an advantage to be rich. Now, I'm not even talking about all of the challenges that come with dealing with the fact that your family is high profile. I'm not even talking about that. About the dysfunction that often comes with being rich. Maybe that's part of why people aren't successful. I don't know, but being rich is, I feel bad for rich kids. I honestly do. Gotta feel bad for them because it's much more difficult. Person can be, it's much easier to be. The Gemara says, "Have zehirim b'bnei aniim shemehem teitzei Torah." The Gemara says, "B'nei aniim, those are the ones that are going to be successful in learning." Shemehem teitzei Torah. That's where Torah comes from. So there's no reason for, I mean, if anything, I think that the ones that are poor should have a little rachmanis on the ones that are rich and be nice to them. Because Nebuch, you know, the Chavetz Chaim davened for his children that they shouldn't be wealthy. Chavetz Chaim davened, it's Yidua. He davened for his kids that Ashiris doesn't, that people think, is it better to be rich or better to be poor? So we're not going to get into, you know, dirt poor, there's ani ev yoin dal, there's like, you know, there's all different things, but the challenges of someone who's, it doesn't necessarily, and money doesn't last forever. And a lot of times people are just left with, all they're left with is the baggage that money brings them. Zuz, money is called zuz. You know what zuz means? Zuz. What does zuz mean?
Go.
Because money moves. Money goes. Right? Money, that's what happens. Some people, today they're rich, tomorrow they're poor. These things happen. There's people who, I personally know people, they were worth hundreds of millions of dollars. They lost $200 million in a bank. They today literally don't have money for Shabbos. These are people that had over $600 million. When you have that much money, people know how much money you have. You know what I mean? They were really, really rich. They lost all their money. Everything. They don't have money for Shabbos. So, there's no guarantee. Money doesn't. The Eibishter gives money, takes money. Money moves. Money goes. There's no reason for a person to either feel more proud or feel more important or anything like that. Every person, we should try to. There should be a sense of equality, a sense of just of just chavershaft, of being biyedidus, and people getting to appreciate each other. Ubimida shetischabru yachad. Another Rebbe says, this is a famous quote of his. Ubimida, in as much shetischabru yachad ze el ze me'ahava, as much as you connect with each other, with ahava, with love. Vititzo madno nafsho yseichem yachad liyos achas mash, and you connect with your nefashos together to be one mamish. B'mida zu gam Hashem aleichem yischaber. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will unite above us. V'chein lehepech, kol pgam v'chol pirud asher b'neichem, any separation, any discord that's amongst you, goyrim lechem yisrachakus v'ashlocha me'ashem, distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being sent away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chas v'shalom. There was a very prominent figure in England, who was the chief rabbi of England. His name was Sir Lord Emmanuel Jacobowitz. He was knighted as considered to be a lord. And he was a very prominent person. I spoke about him, I think, even last week, didn't I? What did we say about him? His son. Right. So we spoke about him last week about, he said that by Judaism, we don't have rights, we have obligations. But he had another quote, which was a brilliant quote. He said that there can be no brotherhood without fatherhood. He said that in order for us to be able to unite, we have to unite under a common cause. It has to be, we're all brothers. People, Jews, always connect, like we feel like very close. But there can be no brotherhood without fatherhood. If we're brothers, then we have the same father. And the Piasetzner Rebbe is now saying there could be no fatherhood without brotherhood. Because if you don't treat him like a brother, then I'm not going to treat you like a father. Hashem says, as much as we can connect with each other. And we were speaking about last night, those that were by the Tanya Shir, that you could have a person that you mamish think that he is scum of the earth. He's the lowest possible. He has like all the worst midas possible. He is a chelek eloka mimal mamish. Mamish chelek eloka mimal. And a person has to be able to find that spark, the divine spark inside of him, and connect with it. Now, we're talking about, you know, people amongst us. How to deal with someone who's not frum, and averus, and tinek shenishba, and all that stuff. That's a different discussion for a different time. Maybe on a Wednesday night in the corner or something like that. But with the kids, it's not for now. But let's talk about the people that are in our circle. People that are, you know, that are here in the yeshiva. I know there's people that don't necessarily get along great with each other. B'mida that we can find common ground, that we can appreciate the divine spark. There could be things that bother us, but at the same time, we understand there's certain things. Sometimes people have irritations on their toes. They have fungus on their toes. Right? Does that mean they want to cut their toe off? No. They got to deal with it. Okay, it's my toe. I understand that. I got to deal with this. Maybe there's a problem with my arm. But it doesn't mean I have to get rid of it. So if we understand we're all part of one cohesive group. So there's issues. There's issues. We'll have to deal with them. We'll have to learn to deal with them. But we can't like just want to like just distance and get it away from me. And just the mida that we're nischabru yachad. When Klal Yisrael epitomizes Mika Amcha Yisrael goy echad baretz. When we're one down here. Kodesh Baruch Hu says Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. Nochoyim. Shekipam bipam yidabru atalmidim b'neihem. Migadlus Hashem. V'inyonei avadosai. V'shibudei ha'odom elav yisbaruch. The right thing is that the boys should speak amongst themselves about the discussion about Godless Hashem. How awesome Hashem is. How great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. How phenomenal Hashem is. Just to talk about it. And he says, Av she'ein lahem lahagid chadoshes zeh lazeh. Even if I have nothing nothing new to tell you, I'm not going to give you any new information. I'm not informing you of anything. Mashu yoimer zeh gam chaver yodeya gam ken yagidu v'yisapu. They should tell it anyway. Talk about how great Hashem is. Talk about it. And I think that this is really the yisoid of all musr, real Musar. The Mesilas Yesharim writes in the Sefer that there's nothing in the Sefer, nothing new here. I'm not writing anything new. So what is Musar? Musar is coming in touch with things that you know. Because if I know it up here, it doesn't help me unless I feel it in here. So Musar is bringing from your mind to your heart, is living the ideas that you know. So if we talk about things, even if we know them already, the more you talk about them, the more real they become, the more that you internalize it, the more you feel it, and the more a person can appreciate. So what's a person supposed to speak about when he's, over breakfast? Right? You can... Person, just talk about Neflois HaBoyrei. There's so many amazing things a person can find to think about, to talk about, if a person just focuses on it. I don't know if you noticed I'm having issues with my wrist. Any of you noticed that I'm having some issues over there? So I'm amazed at the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I find that my wrist, I've realized how many different directions my wrist moves in now, because now I have to use it. You know, I thought, okay, what's so important about a wrist, right? But the wrist, and I'm turning it, and I'm everything, and I'm like, you know, when my wrist gets healthy, Be'ez Hashem, hopefully, then I'm going to appreciate much more having a wrist. And it's something that you have to think about and talk about. So I want you guys to appreciate your wrists. You never think about, you know, your wrist so much, right? But it's something to think about. So anything like that, just speaking about the Neflois HaBoyrei, speak about beautiful fruit, you know, Rabbi Victor Miller spoke about all the time about Neflois. If a person is just attuned to it, you could find such amazing Bria, such a beautiful Bria, such a kind Bria Kadosh Baruch Hu has. So many different elements of the Bria. And talk about it. Okay. Ro'as kol ha'ro'ahi. Now the Rebbe goes on to another topic. Ro'as kol ha'ro'ah. The worst things. The worst of the worst. Ro'as kol ha'ro'ah. He ha'etzdakus sha'ish tzaddik be'enof. If a person is a tzaddik in his own eyes, people justify themselves. That's the worst. If a person is lying to himself, we spoke about that a little bit by Shaul Shudis, about a person lying to himself. And he's saying, I'm okay. He's justifying his activity. K'mo sha'amar ha'pasuk, hineni nishpat oischa al Omrech loichatosi. I will judge you on saying I didn't sin. It's Pele. Pele, what Chazal tell us, that the Bezdin Shalmala is not like Bezdin Shalmata. Down here in Bezdin Shalmata, if a person admits that he sinned, so what happens? He admitted his guilt, so then he's going to get punished. Bezdin Shalmala, you admit that you sin, you don't get punished. That's part of the process of getting pardoned. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Hineni nishpat oischa al amer cha loichatasi. A person says, I didn't sin. And even a person sits there and says, Hashem, no, Bogad, no. But if he's not really taking accountability for his life and not really accepting responsibility, doesn't really feel the guilt, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes us. When a person says Chatosi LaHashem, then he's forgiven. It says by David, the Gemara says, David, so it was Shtayim, I don't remember the exact Lashon of the Gemara, V'loi Osula, Shol was Achas V'Osula, which means David HaMelech sinned, and he sinned repeatedly, but it didn't destroy his Malchus. Shol was Achas V'Osula. Shaul sinned once, and the Malchus was taken away from him. What happened? Shaul had a job to do. Shaul's job was, he had to obliterate Amalek, get rid of Amalek, totally, eradicate, don't leave anything left of Amalek. And he did a very good job, let's say that, 99.99%. That's pretty good. Right, if he was being, get a mark from his teacher, he would get Mitsuyan, Tov Ma'od, something like that. But not from the Eibishter, because Hashem said, get rid of them totally. So the Navi comes to Shaul and says, wait, I told you to get rid of all the tzoyin. What's that I hear in the back? What are those animals? He says, oh, I figured animals, maybe we should bring them for korbanos, a waste of money and stuff like that, waste of money, so maybe we should, Rabbi said, no, you're in serious trouble. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, tore up Ke'ilu, said, your reign is finished. You're going to start making excuses for yourself? Just not explaining and saying, well, it's because of this, it's because of that, I just thought, that's not going to work. If a person comes clean and he says, I know I'm wrong, no excuses, no explanations, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts him the tshuva. There's a story in the Gemara about someone named Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya. Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, he was a sicko. I think you could say that. He was addicted to prostitution. Addicted. I mean, there wasn't a prostitute in the world that he did not have business with. Not one in the world. And he heard about a prostitute that was, that was somewhere far, far away, cost a lot of money, and he's going for it. And he's there, and something very strange happens, and she throws him a line. This Zoyna throws him a line, and somehow there, in that situation, it stirs something inside of him, somehow, and he wants to do tshuva. So Elazar ben Dordaya says, Haram ugvois, bikshu alai l'racham. Look, I did a lot of bad things in my life. I'm going to need someone to help me out over here. Maybe the mountains can help me. Haram ugvois, you help me out. And they say, we got it down for ourselves. We can't help you with this. And he says, Shemesh v'yoreach, bikshu alai rachamim. Kechovim u'mazolis, bikshu alai rachamim. Someone, can someone do something for me? Until he realized, Ein hadavar talui ela bi. This is only dependent on me. And it says that he davened and he cried his heart out. He literally died. And Abasko came out min hashamayim. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya is mezuman l'chai olam abo. Yesh koino ilama b'shachas. It took 1 hour, the whole process. But what happened? What does it mean? Shemesh v'yoreach bikshu alai rachamim. So I heard from Rabbi Rabbi Raful, and it's probably not his own. Shemesh and yoreach is connected the mother and the father. And Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya says, I want my mother and my father to come and to explain how it's their fault the way I ended up. Because it's their chinuch, and it's the way that they treated me as a kid, and it's because of them that I'm doing this. And it's not my fault. And then he came, and he went to the Kechovim. Chazal say Kechovim nimshalu to the Rabbeim, the Mechanchim, and said, it's my Rabbeim's fault. Because they didn't teach me, and they didn't show me, and they didn't treat me properly, and they didn't understand me. And it's not my fault. And the Harmon voice is his surroundings and it's his friends. And he wasn't taking accountability for himself. And he's saying, someone else, can you come and explain why it's not my fault? Until he realized, Ein hadover toli ever be. I got to take accountability for myself. I got to take my life into my own hands. And the only thing I could say is, Chotasi, I'm wrong. And that's all you have to say. But you have to mean it. Sibosa, he had a histaklus sheinish mestakel beatzmoy al atzmoy. The reason is a person is not really looking at himself. He's not really judging himself. He's always looking at other people. The blame is always shifting on other people. Void garua mizehu. Even worse is when a person does not expect greatness from himself. He has no expectations. And he's happy in his heart. And he says, remember we spoke about the Yetzirah says, it's not so bad. It's just a little bad. It's not a vera chamura. I'm not doing such terrible things. It's not so terrible. So what do you want from me? I'm okay. That's all you want. A person has no expectations of himself. Horrible. Terrible. Don't you want to at least be Ish Yisrael Pashut? What does it mean to be a Pashut Yid? The problem is, who is defining for us what a Pashut Yid is? What does it mean to be a Pashut Yid? To be a Pashut Yid, don't you have to fulfill a Kodesh Baruch Hu's condition? Only that way you could be Yisrael, which is godless. Ukedushas ikra yisaelis darish mimcha. Kodesh Baruch Hu says every Yid has to have greatness inside of him. Every Yid has to have kedusha, holiness inside of him. Da'ivinkeit v'loy tiyat tzadik beinach. And the person shouldn't look himself in his eyes and said es chisrano ischatira v'tashpil. Says, gotta get ready to work. It's hard work. We have to understand what it means to be a Pashut Yid. I want to tell you about my exposure to a Pashut Yid. Our yeshiva, HaKadosh, is named after my grandfather's name was Aaron Dov Rosenbaum. He was a Pashut Yid. He never learned a day of his life in Kailo. I'm quite sure. He worked, he had a factory, a knitting factory. He's a Pashut Yid, had a mustache. He's a Pashut Yid. Aaron, my grandfather, Mr. Rosenbaum, was not a rabbi. He was a Pashut Yid. I remember he got honored a few months before he passed away. He was never accepted honors in his life. A few months before he passed away, he got honored. He said, we're a bunch of American Jews. He's a Pashut Yid. He grew up in America. He was born in America, maybe even. He's a Pashut Yid. Finished Shas 5 times. He's a Pashut Yid. He was Mavis Sedra, Shnai Mikra Echad Targum every week. He knew Unkelus practically Baal Peh. He was a Pashut Yid. He used to get up at around 4:45 every morning to learn. He was a Pashut Yid. He spent most of his day in a day school because he never took a position in the school, but he was there 5-6 hours a day trying to help with tuitions. The Mashkiach's father often tells a story that his father went to the school that my grandfather was in charge of, and they didn't have money for tuition, so my grandfather worked it out for them. So they had a Jewish education because of a Pashut Yid. He was just a simple Jew. That's all he was. He's a Pashut Yid. That's an example of what a Pashut Yid looked like. All day he was just thinking about Hashem. I don't know how many times he opened a Rashba in his life. I'm not sure. He was a Pashut Yid. He liked learning Daf Yomi. So he used to learn Daf Yomi 4 times every single day. He learned the Daf Yomi. He got up 4:45, he learned it himself. And then he went to shul at 6:30, they learned Daf Yomi, or maybe a little earlier. Then they davened, and then he learned it with his grandson, and then in the afternoon. So he was learning Daf Yomi the whole day. He was learning, and then he went to the school. It's called the Rosenbaum Yeshiva of North Jersey. And then he learned Rambam. He learned the Perek of Rambam every day also. You know, this is a Pashut Yid. So that's a person. He was a hard-working Pashut Yid, right? But that's what it means. A person wants to be a Pashut Yid, you can be a Pashut Yid. Do you understand what it means to be a Pashut Yid? And how many of those people there were and there still are. But Pashut Yid doesn't mean a person who just doesn't have any expectation of himself. Doesn't have any connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not. Then you missed it. Then you're bechlal not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made conditions with us. We accept the Torah. It means godless, greatness, and kedusha. A person does that. So then a person can say that he's already at least within the discussion of being part of Klal Yisrael. We have to expect of ourselves a certain degree of greatness. We can't settle and be happy with anything less than that. There's someone who went to the Chassam Sofer. He told the Chassam Sofer, you know, it's Yom Kippur. And I know I'm supposed to feel bad, but I looked and I'm really doing great. I don't have to feel bad about. I think I'm, you know, I'm pretty good. So what emotion am I supposed to have in Yom Kippur? Chassam Sofer told him, you are so off. You are so far from understanding what it means to be good. You're so pathetically out of touch with reality. Because he doesn't expect of himself anything. Obviously, the Reb Sadia Goin would cry and fast. Reb Sadia Goin was the Gadol HaDor 1,000 years ago. Because he expected more of himself. We have to expect some more. And the more we expect, the more we'll be motivated and driven to bring out the godless that every one of us can bring out. Beis Hashem will continue.